Duke Scooby and his surgery that he had done. So remember Lewis? It's nice to see Lewis. Miss you, Lewis. I really honestly do. Remember others who have just been physically infirm and just having some problems. So as we get older, I think it's something that's going to become part of our lives, the physical. But I like to see people like Joe Baker that, though he's probably not feeling 110%, but he's still here. He's still coming and trying to be the best he possibly can be, be an encouragement to other people at this point in time. So let's remember them. There's no prophet, yeah. There we go. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 is really kind of beautiful. And though women are instructed in this particular venture of how they should dress properly, I think men can fall into the same category. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly garments. This is very, very important because it's the heart that they're really wanting people to, God wants people to look at. And if you think about it, clothing doesn't identify either as good or bad people, but in the world's eyes, but yet it's how we should adorn ourselves before we stand before God. And what I find as I start to read and study on this thing, many years ago, someone put together for another congregation, is I realize that fashions vary from country to country, from different cities and such like that. In fact, the manner of clothing has varied throughout the ages. And we can see that fact by visiting different parts of the world, reviewing old photographs. The world lives by a different standard, and you and I are not dressed this morning as we were probably 20 years ago. Not that anyone here is dressing immodestly, but our clothing has changed to a certain degree. And I can almost tell you that we're not dressed the same way as women, men, 50 years ago. So there is a change. The world believes in a change in changing your style of clothing that one is going to wear. While fashions may change from country to country throughout times, God's standard in apparel does not. He still requires his people to dress modestly and discreetly. Whatever contributes to, we can say, the lust of the eye is totally wrong. The implication or consequence of this sin is, I believe, absolutely tremendous. Because modesty involves many facets of our lives. And I suppose we could give time to give to the modesty as respects to the heart of men. We could this morning, if you want to, talk about a meek and quiet spirit. And I think that deals with modesty. But I think this morning we'd like to talk about clothing, and we can sit there and talk about nakedness, or maybe the lack of nakedness. And what I discovered when I became a Christian years ago was that, you know, I thought as long as you're clad with clothes, you're okay, right? As long as you're clad with clothes, then you're okay. But as I started to read the Bible, I started to realize that you can have a lot of clothes on, and you're still revealing things that you should not be revealing. And here's where the biblical emphasis is placed. Modesty really doesn't begin with proper dress. I think that it begins in the heart. What's in the heart is really what's going to determine this. It's from the heart that really matters. Because Jesus said in Matthew 5:19, out of the heart comes the thoughts of every person. So you look at the world, you walk out, this door here, and see how people are dressed, how they conduct themselves, how they operate in their lives. And it's kind of a scary thing some days. I remember when I was a kid that people did not want to use the word pregnant. I always thought that was a little odd, a little strange, but they had certain proprieties about them. They didn't do that. And they dressed right. They dressed the way they were supposed to, long dresses, and just covered themselves quite a bit. And I think sometimes we miss that today because people in the world think that, well, I show my value to the world, so I'm going to show them exactly what I've really got. And I think that's totally wrong. I think they're missing it in heart. If modesty is there, then I think the proper clothing is going to be there as well. to go back to history, and history is one of those things that I really like to look at. I'm more the guy that would sit there and say, no, what kind of guns and cannons did they use back a long time ago? Or what kind of vehicles did they ride around in? But then I started realizing that maybe dress is something we need to look at, too. We need something to be discussed. How did people dress a long time ago? And the Bible teaches us that nakedness is a symbol of shame. In the beginning, God set some standards of dress and maybe undress, of modesty and immodesty in the Garden of Eden. And there we can find the beginning of what I'm trying to talk about this morning. After Adam and Eve had sinned, partaking of that bad fruit they weren't supposed to touch, they knew they were naked, and they hid themselves. Now, I have to give them credit for something here, because that's more than what people are really doing today. Seems like the less you put on, the better off you really are. And I'm reminded of somebody from a long time ago, Wayne Timmons. At the time we were up visiting him, he was up in Bay City at that point in time. And he had said, I don't know what kind of fruit Adam and Eve had eaten and opened their eyes to reveal their nakedness, but we could sure use some of it today. I remember what he had said about that. I just thought it was just absolutely fantastic. And I think we live in times when we need more of those things that made them aware that they were actually naked. And that they made them aware of the fact that they needed to be covered and caused them to hide. Wouldn't that be another thing today, that people out there dressed in certain ways to go out and hide someplace because they know that they've done something that's not good? Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Starting about verse 6. When a woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate. She gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called to the man and said, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. The Bible states in Genesis 3:7 that they made loin coverings, aprons. Some theologians that I studied would say render them as girdles a long time ago. Of course, I'm dealing with people that don't, commentaries deal back all the way back in the 1800s. But something to gird themselves about the midsection. But notice in verse 8, even after they had clothed themselves with these, can we call them aprons? What did they do? They still hid themselves in the presence of God. And they felt uncomfortable about what they had done. For they heard the Lord walking in the garden and hid. The reason, we can see it in verse 10. I heard the sound of the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. They were naked, and they were afraid. God also was not satisfied with their attire, and he had made garments to gird themselves about the midsection. But notice this. God, he dresses them. He gives them what he knows to be right. The Bible teaches that God made coats of skin, Genesis 3:21, much like a tunic that reached down to the knee, is what I'm reading and understanding from theologians. Not only clothed, but this time modestly clothed. You see, it's not enough just to be clothed. We must be modestly clothed, and this is what God is concerned with. Remember that just with their midsection girt about, they were still naked in the sight of God, and people need to realize that. When God made these coats of skins and clothed them, it was not for the purpose of revealing either. It was for concealing. And I'd highly suspect that these coats of skin didn't do much for the figure. In other words, tight jeans sometimes may cover but don't conceal. I remember living living down in Texas back in the 80s, from 81 to 89. We moved down there because the job economy was a lot better, fantastic. It was the greatest thing we ever did because we became Christians down there. Actually found people that wanted to open the Bible and wanted to read it. And we thought that was really cool. But the joke was going around about some of these Western girls. They would sit there and wear these tights, these jeans so tight, that some people would comment and say they could sit and put a quarter in their back pocket, and they were so tight they could tell whether it was sticking out heads or tails. Now, it was a joke, obviously. You couldn't do that because the material was made on it. But it was revealing more than it should be revealing. And I don't think I have to go into detail about what these women were trying to show. Where the back or the front, they were trying to show things that were not good. But that's what they would want to do. And I sometimes wondered, watching, looking at these girls walking down the road, like, how could they even get in those pants? Couldn't figure it out. Something was just amiss in their heart, I think. May I also point out that God made coats of skin for Adam as well. Sometimes we find that men and boys simply feel that modesty is a woman thing. Is that true? I don't think so. It's not a woman thing. They may clad themselves in some swim trunks because this happen to be male. And weigh themselves in public and feel all as well because they happen to be a guy. God made Adam 1:2, clothed him and covered his nakedness. I'm going to tell you a little story. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this one before. We first became Christians. We were learning, trying to understand what life is like. And living down south where it's nice and hot, I like to go out in my yard. And I had this pair of old blue jeans that I had actually cut off above here. They would have holes in them, would cut them off of here, and every time my wife would wash them, this would happen. They'd fray and fray and fray. And I had to add those on, and I didn't say it, I'll apologize to you, but these things are broken. And I'm thinking, whoo, I'm okay, I'm great. This nice t-shirt. This one lady comes over from the church. She walks up. I said, how you doing? She goes, you're not dressed modestly. She told me right up front, I'm going, what? And after she had said, I realized, I need to grow on board a little bit more. And I took them, after she was gone, I took them off, I threw them in the trash, and after that, blue ones. Just pulls them in the blue ones. It was a growth thing. But when you're young, I was probably old, in my mid to late 20s, and you know, about as skinny as a board, and I kept thinking, I'm okay. I'm a male. I can do this stuff. It's the women, right? No, it's not true. It's not true. Noah, another principle in nakedness. In the Bible, Genesis 9, 20 through 25, there's another principle laid down in regard to nakedness. You remember that this is the case of Noah, who had been somehow he'd been intoxicated. He got hold of something and drank a little more than he possibly should have. And while he was in his tent, he was uncovered. Well, the Bible said he was naked. And when you get uncovered, certainly that word can be very applicable. I keep thinking of me in my little shorts, you know. I thought I was covered. I covered everything that was necessary, but it wasn't good enough. And I still think of that woman to this day. I really think the world of her. Really, really do. Two of his sons, lest they see their father's nakedness, put upon their shoulders a garment and backed into the situation and covered it up. They weren't going to sit there and look at their dad's nakedness. God is saying anytime nakedness exists to any degree, we need a covering. And this shows the attitude that existed towards nakedness, even in the father-son relationship. And again, this came to be a very symbolic thing. In Isaiah 47, listen to what he has to say beginning with verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstone and grind the meal and cover thy locks, remove thy veil, basically. and make bare the leg, strip off the skirt, uncover thy thigh, pass over the river. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, your shame shall be seen, and I will take vengeance, and will not meet thee as a man. Woo! But hey, I got clothes on. It's okay, right? I have clothes on. Well, I'd like to point out also that according to God's word, it is possible to be clothed and still be naked. One does not have to be naked, as we, the world knows it today, to be naked in the eyes of God. In a sense, the world uses it. In a sense, God uses it. There's two different areas here. Job 22:6 says, "For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped them naked of their clothing." Now this is a situation that times were really tough and bad. They were so thinly clad, so barely covered, that God said they were naked. James 2:15, when he says, "If thy brother or sister be naked, be destitute of daily food." Getting a little skinny there, everything, don't you? He's not considering someone who is stark naked, as we use the term today. James is simply saying that they be thinly or poorly clad, so that they're hardly able to cover their nakedness. It can be used in various senses, in different ways. Let's turn over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Starting about verse 4. "But when the day was now great, and Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, 'Children, you do not have any fish, do you?' And they answered, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net over the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch.' So they cast, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It's the Lord.' So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, threw himself into the sea." Into the sea. In verse 7, Peter was fishing. And you remember that they saw the Lord on the shore in the morning, and the Bible says that Peter was naked or stripped for work. So what does this mean? Did he have no clothes on whatsoever and he's out there? Well, there's probably some people nowadays who would do something like that. Well, here's the case. Here's a case where Peter was fishing, he was naked or stripped down. Many of the world would assume that means what it's called today. They would assume that he had nothing on but a smile. But this is not the case. He had taken off his outer cloak, but he was still clad with some inner clothing, like a linen frock that fishermen wear at that time. They'd be out in the lake, they'd be able to do that, there wouldn't be a lot of people seeing them, obviously, and they'd get wet, and all that wet clothes would not be a good thing to have on. So he was dressed, but he was not totally naked. He just was not. When he considered himself that frock as being naked, John considered him also. And he put out his outer cloak over his inner cloak. But the Bible is saying that clothing sometimes is not enough. It has to be modest, or as I would like to say, God-directed clothing. Let's face it. There are two types of clothing that exist, at least as far as the Bible points out. Clothing that is really bad for you, that you be careful what you wear, that shows much, even though you've got the plaid all over you. And modest clothing. Again, bring out, talking about some of the girls, women a long time ago, and I see them today too. They'll sit there and wear these tight jeans that want to reveal things, and I'm trying not to get too dirty about it. They want to go anywhere near that. I'm going to point out as much as I possibly can. You can wear tight clothing, you can wear things you're not supposed to. How many times have I seen guys do that? Well, listen, the guys out there have also not. I wish I could get them closer. You wear these tight shirts and everything, which they're trying to say something. And the end result would be that if they continue to live that kind of life, life is not going to go as well as it's going to be. Genesis 38. Genesis chapter 38. Starting at verse 13. Talk about Tamar a little bit here. It was told to Tamar, "Behold, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep." So she removed her widow's garments and covered herself with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in the gateway of Enam, which is on the road to Timnah. But she saw that Shelah had grown up, and she had not been given him as a wife. Husband had died. Brother was supposed to come in and fulfill the responsibility, let her have children. He didn't do this. And she had not been given him as a wife. When Judah saw her, he felt she was a harlot, but she had covered her face. So evidently, the covering that they had, the way they attired themselves, showed themselves to be women of ill repute. Can we say it that way? Women that weren't very, very nice. And he wasn't a very nice guy either. Consider if you read here what happened. Tamar knew exactly what she was doing when she dressed as she did. She put off the clothing she was wearing, put on another outfit, one that advertised her as being completely something else. And she knew it. Proverbs 7 deals with women who frequent the streets dressed as, I think the term that they use is harlots. They're selling their bodies for something. Now we got three words we can use for modesty. In 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair, gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works that befits women making a claim to godliness. Proper clothing. Don't reveal things they're not supposed to. They cover up properly like they're supposed to. And there's been big discussions about the golds and the pearls. I know some religions out there don't want you to wear a wedding ring because it's gold and they feel it's wrong. And we could sit and discuss that. It would actually be a good Bible study to get into it. But I don't think that someone's doing something wrong because they've proven that they're married. But sometimes you might be like, what was that guy on TV a long time? Mr. T. I like this guy. He was really kind of mean. But he had so much gold on him. Did he really think about that gold? I didn't know he did. Three words for modesty. Modest, in the Koine Greek, kosmios, means orderly, well-arranged, decent. Modest is used in 1 Timothy 2:9 of the apparel which the Christian women are to adorn themselves. In 1 Timothy 3:2, one of the qualifications essential for a bishop or overseer, Vine's expository dictionary of Old and New Testament words. This would be the word respectable. The term then comes as the inner orderliness and decency reflected in her dress and conduct, as was pointed out earlier. Shamefastedness. Eidos. A sense of shame, modesty, is used regarding the demeanor of women in the church, 1 Timothy 2:9. Shamefastedness is the modesty that is fast or rooted in the character. This is the word rendered reverence in Hebrews 12:28. And I remember, we're going to have his son coming up next year, Connie Adams. We had seen him many, many years ago when I didn't have old, starting to get the gray hair. Unbelievably great speaker. Still alive to my state, still going well. Connie Adams said, there refers to suitable awe and respect toward God. In 1 Timothy 2:9, it refers to a woman's own self-respect related to her reverence for God. And it continues going on that many of the fashions today tend to make women, people look grotesque and reflect a woeful want or self-respect. It seems some vie to see who could look the most absurd and the farthest from sanity or reason. Some are embarrassed over nothing. The ability to blush is a vanishing virtue with many. And I believe that to be true. The ability to blush is a vanishing virtue. But as my personal opinion, as the world goes on, people continue doing things they're doing that's wrong, it's going to come and it's going to see them. You're going to turn around and say, why did I do this? sobriety.
Don't even ask me to try to do this. Try to pronounce that in the Koine Greek. Soberness, sound judgment, that habitual inner self-government with its constant reins on all the passions and desires which would hinder the temptation of those from arising. Soundness of inner mind, self-control, sobriety. Interlinears translate the word with discreetness. With discreetness. So we have to ask the question, Jim, what's all the fuss? Maybe you're saying this, why all the emphasis? And I think the reason, proper outward adornment clothing is necessary. Our clothing is to be decent and modest. Unlike the Jim Rice a long time ago that went out with his shorts and things like that. My wife actually has a tale she could sit there and tell about a shirt that she had. And she had a job before we moved to Texas. And she was thinking about it, got into a store, and it wasn't really bad, but it had two different meanings to it. You can talk to her when we're done about it. And this is right after we became Christians. She walked into the Target store, and she turned around, and she goes, I'm not dressed properly. It included wording on her shirt. Well, that was totally wrong. And she told me later, she took her kids, walked out, left the car, walked out home. She took that shirt, and she threw it in the trash. Love it when God's word seems to seep into our lives. It's really a beautiful thing. Our clothing needs to be modest. It is supposed to be worn properly. It is to be worn with, can I say, self-control? And isn't it the problem we have sometimes? Self-control, we've got to learn to control ourselves when we need to. I think it's something that afflicts everybody, myself personally. And I also think that it's saying here that inward adornment is far more important. And I think inward adornment is even more beautiful. It's even more beautiful. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. We're getting close to wrapping this up here. 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 6. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, you may be won without a word that you hear to their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves and submissive to their husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you will become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Notice what the emphasis is not to be. The outward arrangement of the hair. Now, does that mean you just got to let your hair sit and look down and look kind of, no, I think you can comb it big and kind of look really, really nice. But I have a problem nowadays with women that shave their heads halfway and they color purple and black. And I don't know. It's just something I'm missing on that one. Are they trying to say something? Oh, I think they should probably read this scripture. Not wearing gold to show that this is who I am. See, I got all the gold. Not the fanciest clothes you've got out in the world, but of a meek and quiet spirit. Now, if the knots here are absolute prohibitions, then we have holy women being naked with messy hair and a meek and quiet spirit. So we have to interpret this properly and right. Peter says the emphasis is on the internal, not the external. And we need to put the emphasis here where God states it needs to be. Now, I'm going to say something. This congregation is a great congregation. I think that people here dress modestly and do the right thing. But I bring this out that we can sit and teach other people. That we keep in our minds to say that maybe I don't look as good as whoever, and maybe I'm just not as all in the heart, is what it is. It's all in the heart. It's all in the heart. And this is something to share with people. Think about the words Christ had said the next time you guys are in public and you see scantily clad people parading in immodest clothing. Matthew 5:28, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. We need to keep our eyes focused upon other things that are good, and women need to dress modestly and do things that are right. They have to do it there. And men have to do it just as well. So, I'm going to conclude this one. I know there's some that we said something to, and it didn't seem to be very, very important. Matter of fact, unimportant. However, I believe that spiritually minded people are concerned about how and what they do and how it potentially affects other people. I say this, and I say it as many times as I possibly can. I've said it before, I'll continue to say it to the day I die. Every one of you is some of the most important people in this room. Why? Because you're influencing people that we can. For the gospel, we're doing good. I like to think when we go out in the world, we're planting seeds. I like that one. We're planting seeds, and someone's going to sit there and turn around and go, wow, you know, this woman and man from this church, they're really fantastic people. Look at what they're doing. You plant that seed, and dressing properly will have effects on other people. You don't know, or maybe you do, how important all of you really are. You're very, very important people because of who you're going to influence. We need to teach people to have enough self-respect to cover what God calls nakedness. We don't want our clothing to appeal to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the boastful pride of life. We just can't do that. Those are the three bad ones, isn't it? Everything's kind of classified into those three ones. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the boastful pride of life. This is especially becoming the time of year when friends want us to go off and go to parties and do things that, you know, those parties sometimes are pretty bad. We have to forget about the standards of the world and let God's standards reign within. And when you become that way, well, let me put it this way. When you become that way, you may have less friends. Because I remember when I became a Christian, I went to the preacher and I said, "Well, can I drink if, as long as I don't get drunk?" And I still remember Ernest Finley saying, "You can't keep a can of light in one hand and a Bible in the other, doesn't matter." And so I ended up going to work, and I wouldn't go out to the bars, and I'd go talk to him about coming to church. You know, I lost a lot of friends. Now maybe they weren't friends, maybe that's just look at it totally different. I lost a lot of friends. I'm going, they're all hiding from me. But that's how life is. So with that being said, we're gonna sit there and offer the invitation. And this is another one. We could sit and do a gospel meeting on just baptism alone. Some people think you can sprinkle, you can pour, but we know that the word means that you'd be submerged in the water. Those who read the Bible, hear, believe, and repentant. Repentance means a change of life. If you're walking down this road and you hear God's word, and all of a sudden you've got to walk down this road because that's where God wants you to go. That's what it's about. We have a song chosen. If someone has a need, I want you to stand while we stand and together listen.